Boker Tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now on the Vamot Daf Ayin Tet Amud Bet in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua here shares a confusing bit of information that he got, and one of his colleagues and one of his students then interpreted it in opposite ways. Shamati shasaris choleitz v'chotzin l'ishto, v'asaris lo choleitz v'lo chotzin l'ishto. I've heard that a saris, a eunuch, does chalitza, he doesn't mention Yibum, but he says does chalitza, meaning if his brother died, or chotzin lishto, if he died, then other his brothers do chalitza for his wife. And then he heard the opposite, a saris, there is no chalitza, not either by him or on his behalf. Failing the faresh, and I cannot distinguish. I'm Rabbi Akiva, ani afaresh. Rabbi Akiva came along and distinguished, and it's important to note that everyone here agrees that there are two different kinds of sarisim. There is what we call a saris adam, which is someone who was made into a saris, literally by human hands, but the notion is that it's somebody who had some sort of an accident or intervention that caused him to become impotent, as it were. And there's saris chama, literally a saris of the sun, meaning that he was born that way. So now, Rabbi Akiva, ani afresh. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll explain. Saris adam choleitz v'chotzin lishto. Somebody who was made a eunuch by human intervention, there is chalitza. Why? Neshai talo shata kosher. At one point in his life, he was capable. Saris chama, somebody who was born that way, lo chalitza for lochotzin lishtom, neshalo italo shata kosher. He never in his life was a non-saris, therefore there is no chalitza. Now, the reason for this whole notion is because, of course, yibum and chalitza go hand in hand. And Yibum is all predicated upon, as you see, Pasuk number 2 on the page, Lakim Shem La'achiv, in order to keep his brother's name alive, which means in both directions, both as the Miyabem, and therefore the Choleitz. You have to be somebody who at least is theoretically in the Parsha of keeping your brother's name alive by impregnating his wife. And also for your brothers to do Yibum and or Chalitza on the wife, the dead husband has to have been somebody who theoretically could have propagated, and not a saris. Okay, that's Rabbi Akiva. Eliezer Omer Loki, he turns it around, and he says, El asaris chama choleitz v'chotzin lishto. Someone who was born that way, they do chalitza. What neshiyesh lo refuah? As we will see later in the Gemara, there is the possibility of such a person being healed. Saris adam, somebody who was physically, there was intervention, and he was made into a eunuch, he could never become healed. Good. Now, Hayd Rabbi Yeshua Mateira al Ben Megusat, a person, particular guy, that's his name, Shav Yerushalayim Sris Adam. There was a fellow in Yerushalayim who was a Sris Adam. V'yibmu et ishto. And he died, and one of his brothers did yibum on his wife. L'kayem divir Rabbi Akiva. And he gave this testimony to support Rabbi Akiva that a Sris Adam, who's somebody who at some point in his life was capable, is in the parsha of Yibum and Chalitza, and therefore when he died, his wife got Yibum from the brother. Now, Saris lo choleitz v'lo miyabem. This is really the next Mishnah, Mishnah Hey. A Saris, and this we will find out, is following Rabbi Akiva, and it's talking about a Saris Chama, who Rabbi Akiva says, since he never had a proper time in his life, he does not have Chalitza. It says, lo choleitz v'lo miyabem, v'chein ailonit. Similarly, an ailonit, who was a woman who was born, we've seen this many times, with and never develop secondary sexual characteristics. Lo choletz v'lo mityabemet. Good. Now, asaris shechalatz livimto. What are the consequences of this? If such a saris does give chalitza to his yivama, lo psala. She's not psula, and if later he dies and he's the only brother around, she may now marry a kohen. Ba'ala psala. But if he has bia with her, then she is pasul. Meshehi biladznut. Because a saris having bia with his former sister-in-law, or sister-in-law, is not from Malka Mitzvah, and therefore it's Bi'ilat Znut, and therefore she's Psula Lakuna. If an Ailunit gets Chalitza from the brothers, Lo Psaluha, then the Chalitza is nothing. And if the brothers then die, let's say there's one brother, he gives her Chalitza, and then he dies, she's just a full widow. Be'aluha Psaluha. But if one of them has Bi'a with her, then it's Psula, Mesha Bi'ilata Bi'ilat Znut, again for the same reason. But notice the underlying notion here is that if, let's say, an Ailonit became widowed, and there was only one brother, and the brother did not give her Chalitza, certainly didn't do Yibum, and then died, according to this, she could marry Kohen. It's only his Bia that makes her a Psula Lekuhuna. which means that we are talking away from the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that an Ilonit is Hazonah Murabba Torah. We'll see that later on. Okay, the Gemara then says, Mechti Shemin on the Rabbi Kiva, the Rachavi Lavin Kachavi Kritu Tami. If you recall back on Daf Mem Tet, one of the central sugyot in all of Yevamot, or at least in all of the Isurei Bia, we said that Rabbi Kiva's Shita is that Chayve Lavin are equal to Chayve Kritut. They all create Mamzer and Kiddushin are not Tofes. So if that's the case, then this Saris, who is a Ptsua Daka, should not be in the Parsha of Yibum and Chalitza at all, just like Chayve Kritut as the beginning of the Masachet. Chayve Kritut Lavin and Chalitza v'Yibum Ninu. So how could Rabbi Akiva say that one Saris, indeed a Saris Adam, who is a Ptsua Daka, how could he say that such a person does get chalitza and their cholitz on his behalf? So Rabbi Yachmeyaskim and Gonchin Asai Achiv Gioret. All right. So answer number one is that his brother, the one who died, had married a Gioret. Now remember, there's a machloka. I mentioned this in the previous podcast. There's a huge machloka between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda about the status of Gerim. Are Gerim considered Kahal Yisrael or not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, they are, and therefore anybody who's not allowed to marry into the Kahal cannot marry Gioret. And according to Rabbi Yossi, which is the halacha, kahal gerim are not considered kahal, and therefore a ptsua daka, for instance, could marry a gioret. So now, Rabbi Kiva savar like Rabbi Yossi damar kahal gerim loikri kahal. So Rabbi Kiva has to hold like Rabbi Yossi, who says that gerim are not part of the kahal, and a ptsua daka could marry a ger. And therefore, this fellow's brother married a gioret, and he died. So now the gioret falls to him. He's a ptsua daka. That's okay. So if that's the case, why does Rabbi Kiva's explanation limit us to Chalitza? He should be able to do Yibum. The answer is, Achinami, you're right. Since Rabbi Yeshua quoted the statement that said Chalitz v'chotzin lo, he said, yeah, that's what it means. But indeed, he would take it further and say Yibum would work too. Deka Nami, we can also find this, and we don't even have to read that carefully. Diktani, Ha'id Rabbi Yeshua, and Matera, Ben Magusat, Shebishalam, Yisrael, Adam. You see that in our Mishnah, the testimony to support Rabbi Akiva was a testimony not about Chalitza, but about Yibum. Is that this particular fellow was a Sri Saddam, and he died, and they were Miyabim, his wife. So obviously, we would think that the wife was somebody who was a Gioret, and it was a perfectly legitimate marriage, and that's why. Meitiv Rabbas, Rabba challenges. Psua Daka Chuchavcha, Sri Saddam Vazakein. So, Ptsua Daka Chuchavcha, we know what they are. Sri Saddam is sort of a general category for that. And Azakain, somebody who's beyond the age where they're fertile. O Chotzin O Miyabmin. They could do Chalitza Yibum. Ketzad, how does this work? Meitu, let's say one of these guys dies. Lahem Nashim V'lahem Achin, and they have wives and no children, obviously, and brothers. V'yamdu Achin Masu Mamar V'nashotei. And let's say one of the brothers did Mamar and one of the wives. Nanu Get O Shechiltsu. Or they gave a get from the Maimar, they gave Chalitza, Masha Asu Asu, that's all valid. V'im Ba'alu Kanu. In other words, it's a full Yibum. Meitu Achin, let's flip it. Let's say one of the brothers dies. V'yamdu Hain, one of these fellows who's impotent. Got up Yasu Ma'amar B'nashotayan. V'natnu Geto Chaltsu, they did any of the acts of Yibum. Ma'amar, and then a get to Ma'amar, and then Chalitza. Masha Asu Asu, V'im Ba'alu Kanu. And if they do Bia, then it's valid. However, V'asur L'kaiman. But if a Ptsua Daka, let's say, gets up and does Yibum on his brother's wife, it's valid, but he's not allowed to stay with her. Why? Mishum Shenemar, Lo Yavo Ptsua Daka Chuchovcha B'Kal Adonai. Because they're not allowed to be married to them. And this goes back to the principle that we saw in the beginning of the Masachet, that really, in the case of an Isur Lav, Mida Oraita, there is Yibum, because Aseh Dochalot Aseh. And we only don't allow it because he might have a second beer with her, which is not the mitzvah, and it's not Docha. So here, if he does Yibum, the Yibum is valid, and then he has to divorce her because of the Isser. So what does that tell you? Alma b'kahal askinen. So obviously now, when we're talking about a Ptsua Daka doing Yibum, we're talking about him doing Yibum on a regular woman who's a member of the Kahal, who he's not allowed to be married to. Which means you cannot give the answer that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva is talking about a case where the woman in question was a Gioret. Good. Okay, so now, Ella Amaraba, second answer. Kagon Shanaflo Basof Nifza. She fell to him when he was still healthy, and before he did Yibum, he became a Ptsua Daka. So Amar La Abaye, Abaye says Azma, Velete Yisr Ptsua, Venitche Yasad Yibum. But right now, before he does Yibum, he's a Ptsua Daka. So what if she fell to him beforehand? So that should be Docha, the Asay of Yibum. Remember this case. This is the case where a brother is married to a woman, and then there are three brothers. Brother number one is married to a woman, and brother number three is then Mekadesh, her sister, which is perfectly legitimate. Brother number one then dies. So the sister then falls, really, to brothers number two and three. But brother three is already engaged to her sister. So what was Rabbi Gamliel's take on it? That's not the case. If the case is where a man is married to a woman, B'kiddushei Miyun, right, she's young, and then her sister falls to him. So what do we do? Rabbi Gamliel's take on it is, if she does Miyun, then fine, then you could do Yibum on the other woman. And if not, then we wait until she becomes of age, and then the other one who fell to him, the new one who fell to him, then is free because of Achot Isha. Alma ati Isur Achot Isha v'dachi. So you see that the Isur of Achot Isha, which right now is only in the potential because the Kiddushim to the woman he's married to are Kiddushim Durabanan of Miyun, nonetheless, they are Doche, the Isur, the mitzvah of Yibum. Hachanaminate Isur Ptuadaka of Nitzchi. So why should he marry do Yibum on the Ptuadaka? So Ella Amar Yosef, Haitana Hachtana Rabbi Akiva. The answer is that if you recall in Daf Mem Tet, we had a few nuances within Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the way that we read him straight up whenever we referred to the sugya, was that he said that all Chayvei Lavin create Mamzerut and Kiddushin Ar Tofes. However, we saw three different shitot. Shimon HaAtemani, Rabbi Shevav, and Rabbi Simoi, about Rabbi Akiva, which particular Lavin. So our Tana perhaps holds that Rabbi Akiva held Chai Velavin de She'er Havi Mamzer. Only Chai Velavin that are about consanguinity create a Mamzer. Mechai Velavin great de lo Havi Mamzer. But a Stam Chai Velavin like Ptua Daka, where the issue is not the relationship, but the issue is the inherent status of the man and his position is a Ptua Daka. In that case, it doesn't create a Mamzer. So now we have a second problem. So that means that really, according to Rabbi Akiva, this is a regular Chai V'Lavin like we would treat it. In which case, there would be Yibum. And that's why he says Ptua Daka would have it, according to this particular Tana. But if that's the case, then Ikri Kam Lakim Lachim Shem. After all, the Pasuk about Yibum says you have to be somebody who could propagate the brother's name. V'alad Barachihu. This Ptua Daka couldn't do so. So I'm a Rava, Im Kane, and Lachai Shashik Sherli Yavam. So Rava turns it around and turns it into reductio. He said, you would never have Yibum. Why? Because every woman whose husband dies in a normal fashion, not getting hit by a bus, but who gets sick and then dies, somewhere before he died, in the minute, the hour before he died, he was infertile. That's not the last thing to go. So in that case, no woman is Ksherali Avam. Why? Because every man becomes infertile somewhere before he dies, which means she died as the widow of an infertile man, if that's what you're going to say, right? If you're going to say Lakim Lachim Shem is going to be a definition of anybody who's going to be in the Parsha of Yibum, whether the husband or the Yavam, right? So that's how he answered. He says, therefore, this Ptua Daka, who at one point was kosher, he's a corner of Akiva, he was a Sri Saddam, which means at one point he was kosher, therefore he's in the Parsha of Yibum, even though he personally cannot be Miyabim. But if he dies, so they're Miyabim, his wife, and that explains it, because after all, we're not talking about now a case of a giyort, we're talking about a regular member of the Kahal, and Rabbi Akiva, according to this version, holds that a Ptua Daka marrying a regular member of the Kahal is a regular lav, Kiddushin Ar Tofes, and the result is not a Mamzer, and therefore Yibum is Chal, Yibum is it takes effect. Now, Le Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, who flipped it and said that it's Dafka Sris Adam who has Sris Chama who has Yibum because he could be healed. Peruka de Rava Pirchai. This answer of Rava that says that after all every person is a Sris Chama at some point actually becomes a challenge. And his answer, because according to him then, that means that every woman whose husband isn't hit by a bus, but in some way gets sick and then dies, at some point was a Sris Chama and was not able to propagate, and therefore should be out of the parasha. Right? And so therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, According to Rabbi Eliezer, it is indeed a challenge because you see that if somebody had a time in which they were really capable, then that means that they are in the parsha, and he is the one who says that a Sris Adam is not sorry, so that a Sris Adam is somebody who does not get any chalitza, and yet he had Shata Kosher. He had some time that he was capable. He and later had an accident or whatever. The answer is Hatam Chishuta Dat Chilabei. Eliezer reads it differently. He says that the fact that everybody before they die become infertile somewhere in the last couple of hours or day or so isn't infertility. That's not Srisut. That's something else. That's just the weakening of the body where all the functions stop functioning. Good. So now, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, Hechidami Sris Chama. How do we define a Sris Chama? Yitzchak by Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol shelo ra'a sha'achat b'kashuto. It has to be somebody who never was capable. In other words, he was never able. Benaya dina, so how can we check that? Abaye, kol ha'meitil mayim ve'ino se kippah. So Abaye gives one particular siman that has to do with the way that somebody urinates and what happens to the water, whether the water piles up and makes a pile or not. We'll see more details on this later. Mimai have, now what causes this? The afe ime betihara, his mother baked while she was pregnant. She baked at noon, and the heat of the oven and the heat of the sun together generated this affliction while he was in the womb. The shatya shichra marka, and she drank very strong mead while she was pregnant. Good, a warning against women against drinking alcohol when they're pregnant. Rav Yosef, hainu de shamayna leimi. That's why I remember hearing my mother say, "Tamar kol shemei imo lakui." I heard her say something about that somebody who was damaged already from the womb, and I didn't know what she was talking about. Now I understand. So why don't we assume that perhaps if his mother did that when he was first born, the way he urinated indicated that he had something wrong, and now later, now that he's a married man, there's something wrong. But maybe in the meantime he was healthy. So since we had this sign when he was born, and now we see this sign at the end of his life, we assume that that's how he was the whole time. We don't suspect that he got better in the middle and got bad again. Chaniman Antigonus, talking about a Bachor Behema, says that we check it three different times for a particular mum, three times within 80 days to see whether he got better. So the answer is lachad ever chashinim lekulei gufa lo chashinim. Yes, indeed, if there's one particular organ that seems to be problematic, so with the possibility it gets healed, so we check it a few times. But for the entire body, something that is a general body function, we say that if he was that way when he was born and that way at the end of his life, that that's the way he was. Okay, now back in the Mishnah of Eliezer, flipped things around and said that it is dafka a sris chama who has chalitza because he can be healed, and a sris adam, somebody who was damaged since he could never be healed. In other words, it's not the issue of did he ever have a time in his life that he was okay, but is there any potential in his life for ever being okay as far as fertility goes? That's the criteria. Loki, Verminu. So now we have a challenge to this. Let's say somebody is 20 years old and he never and did not bring simanim. Then they have to bring a raya that he's 20 years old, and then we declare him a saris, and we say then from the age of 13 he was a gadol. Lo choleitz v'lo miyabem, and then he's out of the parsha of choleitz nibum. Bat esrim v'lo yaviyah shtei sarot, the same thing if a girl is 20 and she has not yet brought simanim. Yaviyu raya shi bat esrim v'hiyah ayelonit, again, if she prove that she's 20 years old, bring a birth certificate or something, then she is declared an ayelonit. Lo choleitz v'lo miyabem, et divrei betila, that's betila. V'chami amrim, zev azeh b'nei shmona asrei. And some might disagree and say they're both at 18, not at 20. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, "Azachar k'divrei b'tila, but I came out k'divrei b'shamay neshai sham maherot lavon lifnei aish." He says women mature quicker than men, and therefore he rules like Beit Hillel, 20 years old when it comes to men, and 18 years old like Beit Shammai when it comes to women. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer says that So you see, the Rabbi Eliezer says that a Sris Chama does not do Chalitza. And we're talking about a Sris Chama. We're talking about somebody who was born this way, and we give them till 18 or 20. We find out what their status is. And then Rabbi Eliezer agrees, you don't give Chalitza or Yibo. And here in the Mishnah, he says, you'd give Chalitza or Yibo. So the answer we give, Rabbi Eliezer changed his mind. Now, change his mind is confusing. Which did he change to which? Our Mishnah or this Braita? From which one did he change his mind? There you go. We have another Braita where Elazar says that a Sris Chama does Chalitza and his brothers do Chalitza for his wife. Here we add a little more detail that they evidently in Alexandria, in the Egyptian Alexandria, they were able to heal such a person. Good. So now that's the first take, that Rabbi Elazar changed his mind. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar the Amorah said, Li'olam lo hadarbe. He didn't change his mind. In other words, everything is consistent. The Chitnan Ahi, that Mishnah about Ben Asrim Shana, the one that's at the beginning of our Sugya, is La'onshin. It's not talking about Chalitza Nibum. It's talking about Onshin, meaning, at what point is a person subject to Onshin? If a normal person, who's not a Saris or an Iloni, and they develop late, then they are only subject and liable for onshin, for punishments, and the Beit Din, when they bring simanim. But if at a particular point it's determined that they are sarisa or an ilonit, then we go back and say from the age of 12 or 13, they were already a gadol. Good. So this Mishnah here about Esrim and Shmonasre is not about Chalitza Nibum. That's what Beit Shammah Beit Hillel mentioned. But when Rabbi Eliezer made his comment, he said, I paskin like Beit Hillel when it comes to men, and Beit Shammah when it comes to women, Legabe onshin, legabe chalitza. Good. Itmar. Achal chelem ben 12 shana v'yom achad ad ben 18. So let's say, we're talking about a girl here, ate chelem somewhere between the age of 12 and 18. But no du bo, and now we're flipping to a man, so it could have been 13 in this case, simane saris. And then suddenly he looks like a saris, so we'll see what those simanim are. L'achar mikane v'yishtei sarot. And then later on, after he's 19, 20, 25, suddenly he starts bringing very, very late signs of maturity. Rav Amar Nases Saris Tamafreya. Rav says, no, we declare him a Saris, and from the age of 12 or 13, he's a Gadol, which means he's Chayav for that Chaylev. Shmuel Amar Katana Yabo Tasha'a. Shmuel says there is no retroactive definition until the age that you bring Simanim or you reach 18 or 20 or whatever the age is, and we see you're a Saris or an Ilonit, you are a Katan, and therefore you're Patur. Matka Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef challenges Rav. The Rav, I only the mayor, Yehela Knas. This is the little bit of background I gave it on top of the page. The Torah obligates a man who rapes or seduces a Na'ara, Betula, to pay a Knas. They're different. In the case of Ones, he pays the Knas and then must marry her. In the case of Mefata, he pays the Knas if he doesn't marry her. If he does marry, that Knas then turns into Ketubah. In any case, it's only for a Na'ara Betula. There is a machlok at Chachamim Rab Meir in the Mishnah on third parak of Ketubot about whether a ktana is subject to knas. Chachamim say yes, Rab Meir says no. It's not a ktana, it's only a na'ara. And Rab Meir is of the opinion, therefore, that an ilonit cannot ever get a knas because an ilonit is always a ktana. Except according to Rav, that we say that once we realize she's an ilonit, then we go back to the age of 12 and say from now on she was a gdola. According to that, Rameir should obligate a knas. So Abaye says, here's what Rameir means. He says that according to Rav, who says that retroactively we declare her to be a gdola from the age of 12, she went straight from ktana to gdola without having a period of na'arut, which is all about physical development. She never had that, and therefore that's what Rameir says, she doesn't get a knas. Amarle, kol kihani mile malaita yitamru mishamoi. Rav Yosef praised his student Abaye for coming up with such a solution. He said, such wonderful things I wish were said in my name. Tanya, because he said, I have a brighter that supports what you're saying. Eina saris nidon keven sorer more. A saris can never be called as ben sorer more, right? Why? Lafisha ain ben sorer more nidon ele b'chatimat zakana tachton. Because he needs some pubic hair in order to be called a ben sorer more. And by the time he's already declared to be old, he's too big. And an ilonit does not judge as na'ara. This is now not our case, but a na'ara hamu'urasa, who has particular halachot when she either voluntarily or against her will has relations with somebody who's not her affiance. Shemikat nuta yatzta lebeger, because an ilonit is considered somebody who goes straight from minority to majority without na'arut. Good, exactly like you said, Abaye, very nice. I'm Rabbi Avau. Now, simane saris va'ilonit, uven shmona. Ben shmona means a child who was born after 8 months of gestation, which in Chazal's world was automatically a dead child. We'll see how this is dealt. All right? Eino sin ben masad shu ben esrim. But any of these people, as he's ruling like Beit Hillel, you do not deal with simane saris or ilonit and you do not deal with the status of somebody who's a ben shmona and rectifying it until they're 20 years old. Now, ben shmona mika chai, since when do you have an eight month gestation baby who lives? Vatanya ben shmona areku evan asur taltalo. Such a baby is muktzan Shabbos. He's like a dead thing. His mother can lean over and nurse him, because she's in danger, she doesn't nurse, the baby's in danger, but really we consider him to be dead. So we're talking about a baby who seems to be fully developed. What is a ben shmona? Somebody who did not have a full 9 months of gestation. Rabbi disagrees. And he says, you take a look at his development. If you see that his hair or his fingernails didn't properly come in, Tama delo gamru. So it's only if it didn't come in. Ha gamru amrin and hai bar zayinu. So what, how do we explain it? If the kid is born after 8 months, but he's fully developed properly, we say that he's really a 7-month-old child. Vishtuyu de ishtayin, and he had a delayed delivery. In other words, whatever development he had was developed within 7 months, which Chazal said certainly is reasonable, and that we've had several times. And he just had a delayed delivery until the 8th month. And that's why we thought that he's a ben shmona. Aloha de avir rava tosfa uvda beisha shalach bal medina tayam ishtoya atresa yarchi shata. Something of a fascinating story that Rava Tosfa ruled that a woman whose husband left on a trip and was gone for 12 months, and after 12 months after he was gone, she gave birth to a baby, and he said the baby is kosher, and the assumption is that the baby was fully developed and had a very, very, very delayed delivery. So Kaman Karebi, the answer is he was ruling like Rebbe, who says there's such a thing as delayed delivery. A baby who's born after 8 months who's healthy is really a 7-month baby who was delayed. Now, how could he say it just like one opinion of Rebbe? The answer is Kevin de'ikur Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel, as we'll see in a second, also said such a thing happens, that a baby is delayed, and therefore he was ruling not like just Rebbe, but Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, he had two opinions to rely on, and that was fine. D'tanya, how do we know? Shimon Gamliel omer, kol shah shalom shlim yom ma'adam eino nefel. If a baby is born and lives 30 days, then we assume them to be not a nefel, which means that even a baby who's born after 8 months, if he lives for another 30 days, we say, okay, it was a 7-month baby who was able to somehow had a delayed delivery, and that's how we know, and that's, by the way, why we wait, into partially connected to the fact that we wait that long for Pidyon HaBen, although that's, of course, something that's written into the Torah. However, that he mentions Ba'adam because Be'behema had 7 days. Now, Tana Rabbanan. Ezu saris chama. What is a saris chama? Kol shu ben esrim v'lo evishtei sarot. If he's 20 years old and has not yet brought pubic hair. Afilu evila achar mikan. Even if he brought it later, hariyoku saris l'chol dvarif. It's 100% saris. Now, ve'elu in simanav. Now, it's important to distinguish between the word siman and siman. Siman, as a sign, is generally used as simanei bagrut, the signs of maturity, which is usually pubic hairs. Then there are simanei saris and simanei ailunit, which are sort of in the opposite, signs of defective behavior. So let's see what they are. Kol she'en lo zakan, if he has no facial hair. U'saro lakui, if his hair is very weak. U'saro machlik, if his skin is very smooth. Shem gamliel, shem rabbi yoram ben ya'ir, kol she'en me'mav ma'alin v'tichut, if he urinates and there is no heat coming from it. Shomim kol ha'meitzel ma'im ve'enos kipa, or we had earlier, if he urinates and it doesn't create like a pile. Shomim kol she'shichvat zarot doche, if his semen is kind of weak. Shomim kol she'en me'mei raglav machmitzin, there are those who say that if his urine doesn't smell bad, in other words, you collect his urine normally when urine is collected into some sort of a vessel, after a little while it smells very bad. If his doesn't, so that it's something that is faulty, something's not working properly. Somebody who takes a bath and a hot bath during the winter and his skin doesn't give off heat. Somebody whose voice is weak and you can't tell the difference between his voice and a woman's voice. That's a saris. There's various opinions, some of them having to do with urethral functions, and some of them having to do with physical appearance. Bezui alonit, what's an alonit? Kol shibata swimvelo viashte sarot. Again, a woman who's 20 and has not yet brought any pubic hair. Filo evia lacharmikan, even if afterwards are ikir alonit the chodvara. Same thing as a saris. Ve'en simanea, these are the simanei ayonit. Kol she'en la dadim, if she does not have developed breasts. Umitkasha b'shat tashmish. This means that intercourse is hard for her. It's painful. Shemim Gamliel omer, kol she'en la shipolei me'ayim kenashim. He says that if she doesn't have wide hips like a woman. Shemim Lazar omer, kol she'kola aveh ve'en na nikeret pein isha le'ish. Anybody who has a very deep voice and you can't tell the difference, again, Rav Shimon Elazar had the same thing in the Saris. Here he has with a woman who has a deep voice where you couldn't tell her voice from a man's voice. Now, many of us know many people who have one of these characteristics, especially with voice or skin. So now let's see. Idmar Simanes Saris, Ravuna Mar Achu Kulam. Ravuna says to be a Saris, you have to have all these Simani. Rabbi Yochan Amar Afilu Bachadmian, just any one of them. Now, hecha devi shtei sarot bezakan, kulei alma lo pligi dan shiu kulan. Anybody who brought shtei sarot, let's say, on the face. So therefore, you know that they really need to have all the other simanim before you can call them a saris. Ki pligi b'shelo evi. We're talking about when they didn't bring. When they didn't bring other those simanim, then we really have to, Ravuna says, you have to still have to have all these simanim to call them a saris. Ryochan says any one of them is the nail in the coffin. So they said about Rav Nachman, go check Rav Nachman out. I guess he wasn't yet Rav Nachman. Go check him out and see if when he takes a bath in the winter, if his skin gives off some heat or smoke, but sort of like steam, then let him get married. So that means that we were looking to find... Where you're looking to find, as long as he has one thing that doesn't fit Simone Saris, he's okay. Come on, Ravuna. It must be like Ravuna. Because you see that as long as any one of these things is missing, he's okay. No, Rav Nachman Secha Dikna Havile. The answer is no, that Rav Nachman really had little bits of tufts of hair, and therefore he was in the category of somebody that we all agree that as long as you need all the Simonim to be a Saris, because he has a little bit of facial hair, and therefore, as long as one of the things fails, in other words, he looks good in one area, then we consider him already to be not a saris. Good. Now, later on, the next mishnah said, "Saris lo choleis v'lo miyabem v'chein ailonit." So now, tani saris dum yada ailonit. It mentions saris and ailonit next to each other. I mentioned this when we did the mishnah. Ma ailonit b'dei shamayim, saris b'dei shamayim. Ustama k'rabi akiva. Damar b'dei adam in b'dei shamayim lo. So the Mishnah says, Saris and an Ailonit, he puts them together, it must be a Saris Chama, parallel to an Ailonit. An Ailonit is somebody who was not generated by a human intervention, but that's the way she was born. Similarly, the Saris discussed here must be a Saris who was born that way, and that is Rabbi Akiva Shita, who says that if somebody was made into a Saris by human intervention, he does Chalitza and has Chalitza for his wife, but not if he was a Saris Chama. Now, Sarisha Chalatz Livimto Lo Psala. Interesting, the Mishnah said that if the Saris has Bia with the Yevama, he's posel her. Tama de Baalahu, Ha'acher Lo. Wait, only if he has Bia with her, is he posel her? What, if some outside guy has Bia with her, he's not posel her? That seems to be a contradiction. That seems to challenge Rav Hamnuna, who said that a Shomeret Yavam that has an adulterous relationship, she's psula liyabma. So lo, who adin afilu acher nami? No, of course this would be true if she had been with somebody else. It doesn't challenge Rav Hamnuna. Haitana reisha b'didei, tana nami seifa b'didei. Since the reisha said that, since the reisha of the Mishnah said that. Lo choleitz v'lo miyabem, and talked about him. Therefore, it talks about that if he did yibum, what the results would be. But that doesn't mean if somebody else had bia with her that it would not invalidate. And v'chein ailonit shechatzu la'achin, we said that tama de balua. That's if the brothers had bia with the ailonit, that invalidates her. Halo balu halo. But if they didn't have bia with her, she's valid for kuna. Come on, de lo Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't fit like Rabbi Yehuda. I mentioned this. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, the Torah says that a man cannot marry, a kohen cannot marry a zonah, is referring to an ailonit, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the ailonit is automatically psula lakuna without having had an attempted yibum by the brothers. Tov, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll pick up at this Mishnah. For those of you listening relatively live, it will be a little bit later on today, Wednesday, Yod Ba'av, and then we will continue, Mirtz Hashem. Everyone should have a wonderful day.